You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Amy Morgan and John Denny. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or join in on the conversation on Google Plus.
Welcome to Screen View episode 16. I have with me John Denny.
Hello.
And I am your host, Peter Van. Tonight we will be talking about the series finales. Chuck left us this last week, so we'll talk about which ones we hated, which ones we loved, and which ones we have decided not to watch for 10 years ago. But before that, we will talk about movies.
And top 10.
Top 10. Number one, The Gray at $19 million.
Sort of a low take.
Yeah, pretty low. Underworld Awakening at number two. The Katherine Heigl crap show at number three.
I mean, it just seems overall, looking at the top 10, not a whole lot of people went to the movies this past week.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually went to the movies to see Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I mean, overall, it's just, you know, the number one movie makes $19 million.
Yeah.
And then, you know, sort of drops kind of way down from there.
Yeah.
Number five only made $8 million. So, you know, they're waiting for something big to come. I don't know what it is that they're waiting for.
I don't know. We will we'll get to the new releases and we'll see how that goes. Man on a Ledge was very low take, $8 million, despite the fact that there was just like blitzing everywhere for them.
Yeah.
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close at six, Contraband at seven, The Descendants at eight, which is like it went up 170% since it got nominated.
Speaking of the number three was one for the money, the advertising. I haven't seen anything advertised for that movie at all. Have you?
I saw it like once or twice.
I mean, maybe I'm just watching different channels, or you know,
it wasn't strongly promoted.
You'd think that since Katherine Heigl was executive producer on that, she would make an effort to try to make her money back. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I guess their understanding is that Katherine Heigl just draws people into the box office. So they're like,
yeah.
Oh, Katherine Heigl, I'll go see that.
Who is the guy that is in the movie with her? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't think it matters, but...
I'm just curious, that's all.
Let's see here. What's his name? What's this guy's name? I don't know. Daniel Sunyata and Jason O'Mara.
Oh.
Daniel Sunyata is from Rescue Me.
Oh, yeah. Franco.
Yeah, and then Jason O'Mara is from Terra Nova and that show Life on Mars on ABC like a couple years back. So let's see. Yeah, The Descendants. It made 170% more than it did last week. By adding 1,441 theaters, which is pretty impressive.
It still only made less than $60 million, though. I mean, that's good for that for a small release into a larger release.
Yeah, it was
a
very limited release, yeah.
But, you know, you'd think more people want to see these movies.
It'll build up. I mean, you know, the Oscars just came, so it'll definitely build up for sure.
Yeah.
And it's only at 2,000 theaters right now, and if... the Katherine Heigl movie can make 2,700 theaters. The Descendants can make it. Beauty and the Beast in 3D and Haywire round out the top 10. New releases this week is Big Miracle, which is that Drew Barrymore film about whales.
Whales trapped under ice. I'm so sick of the advertising for this movie.
And
so sick of it.
Having fun in water with her face open.
Yeah.
Chronicle, which is about three high school students who find out they have powers. And then this one kid goes crazy. It actually looks not that bad. I'm actually sort of interested in this movie.
The more commercials that I see for it, the more I kind of want to see it.
Yeah.
I did not want to see it at all when I first saw a commercial for it because I thought it was like another one of those found footage movies that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, wow, everyone ends up dead except for that one kid because he gets away somehow. But
because he's crazy.
Right.
Just in time to murder some other people.
But I don't think that it's that. I haven't really done too much research on it, but I think it's like an actual, you know, beginning, middle, end.
Yeah, I think it actually has a plot and everything like that.
So,
yeah.
You know, the commercials make it look good, so I'll go see that. Well, I won't go see it, probably, but I'll watch it eventually.
And then the last big one to come out this weekend is The Woman in Black, which is...
I know you're looking forward to this.
I had a chance to go see a screener for this, and I was afraid that I would pee my pants because it's so scary.
The one that they advertised on TV? They had a commercial where they showed a bunch of people in like night vision watching this movie.
No, is it? Were they like freaking out?
Oh my god! Yeah.
Oh god! Yeah. Thank goodness I didn't see it then.
I definitely want to see this.
Oh my god! I totally wussed out on that. I was like, I'm not gonna do that. All right. So turning to some quick news, really quickly.
Let me just say real quick. Not a good turn for Daniel Radcliffe to go from probably the biggest moneymaker in movies ever to horror movies.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you can't fault the guy for trying something new.
Yeah, I know. You'd think he would stay out of the limelight for a little bit and then, you know, come back with something big, but go right into a horror movie. It's like, you know, you're already at the end of your career.
Yeah, but I mean, it's getting some... I think it's getting some pretty good early buzz.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
He's not going to win any kind of Oscars or anything.
No. But he's, you know, he's trying something new.
Yeah.
Fun for that. So despite the fact that 3D sales have dropped pretty nicely, the company Real3D, which you actually are probably familiar with since most of the glasses that you get in 3D films are Real3D glasses, they still made $2.8 million in net income. Up with 16.8 million loss from last year. They did a lot of cost cutting as well because they knew that they were going to lose money this year, that, you know, the films were going to drop in terms of 3D pricing. So they...
How did they make money?
They did some cost cutting and...
Yeah, but if they provide the glasses, is that what I get? They don't have anything to do with the actual movie, though.
No, they, I believe they come with the, they also do the projections and stuff. Like they come out with the projectors and stuff like that as well.
Okay. So if less people have gone to see 3D movies, thereby less people using the products that they provide, how do they make money?
They cost cutting.
Okay. I mean, I'm not a...
Yes.
I don't really understand how that works.
So the company Real3D does... They use... Yeah, they do video projectors, and then they have the glasses that can read that projector. Specifically, they did a lot of aggressive cost cutting, so they shaved down on their budget in terms of like overhead costs. So they were able to, whatever they were able to grab from 3D, they used it towards their profit.
I gotcha.
All right, so
can I just point out that this guy's quote says that their fiscal year 2013 starts on March 24th of 2012?
Yeah, that happens pretty often.
How are 9 of your months in next year's fiscal year?
Yeah, they do that pretty often. It's kind of sad. Like, it's just
It's just funny to me. Bizarre. Like, I get, I used to work for a company where the fiscal year ended on June 30th. Mm-hmm. That's six, you know, that way it envelopes two halves of the year.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, that just seems so funny to me.
It's pretty insane. So I feel like, John, I don't remember this last year, but a lot of the companies right now are talking, like, they're releasing their Super Bowl ads ahead of the
show. Yeah. I remember a little bit last year. I don't think anyone paid attention to it too much. Because it kind of, like, if you're me, I guess, and you're watching, not rooting for a team one way or the other,
mm-hmm.
or even much for the sport, you kind of don't want to ruin the effect of the Super Bowl commercials.
Right.
You're going to see by watching them ahead of time. Because then, like, well, think about it. Once it gets towards the end of the game and they start replaying the commercials over and over again, you're like, oh, I saw that one already. You're going to go into the game saying, I've seen this one already. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, I didn't really understand this, and they were talking about, you know, it's the normal and stuff like that, so they're trying to generate some buzz online, and, you know, people will be like, oh, I saw this commercial's so funny, I'm going to keep watching it, and blah, blah, blah. But I feel like it's such they spent so much money on the Super Bowl commercials, you know? Like, the Super Bowl commercials are an all-time high in terms of price.
Of course, they go up every year.
Yeah, they go up every year. And
here's what ends up happening, is that the ones you see online, they want you to say, oh, that was that good. I can't wait to see what they're not showing us. And then inevitably you're like, everything I saw ahead of time was better than this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, here's what they're not going to show you is, like, the ones that haven't shown anything is, you know, of course, Sable, which is Budweiser. Which is
Doritos.
Which is known for doing some pretty good commercials. And Doritos is actually coming back and doing what they did a couple years ago, which is have, like, you know, the fans just submit their own videos and stuff like that.
Right, right, right.
So those are pretty fun. So some of them that have come out, they've already released in full, include trailers, which include G.I. Joe Retaliation. Which
right.
Actually, if you haven't seen it yet, we'll link it to the show notes. It's actually really good.
I know.
It's I'm actually...
I'm excited.
At first, I saw the first G.I. Joe trailer, Retaliation trailer, and I said, it's not that good. And then I saw it again, and I was like, wow, this is actually really good. This is actually pretty good. And then I saw this one, and I was like, wow, this is really good. Especially now that they gave Cobra Commander a helmet instead of a gas mask. Matthew Broderick playing Matthew Broderick. As Bueller, I guess. As Ferris Bueller?
Yes.
It's kind of weird. Like, he's sort of Ferris Bueller, but sort of, like...
They're making fun of Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, and then he's...
By it being Matthew Broderick's day off.
Yeah, and then he's...
Let's be honest, Matthew Broderick's had a day off since Godzilla 2000. What has he done?
Birdcage? No, that wasn't him. The producers.
That was him. The '90s.
That was him.
Oh, the producers. That's right. I forgot about
but
that.
But most of the time, he's just sitting pretty and collecting unemployment from Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
But he's hawking the Honda CRV, which is really sad because that is an ugly car.
I can't believe they still make that car.
Have you seen the new one? The one that they're advertising? Oh my god! It's an ugly.
I'll see it this weekend when I go to the car show.
Oh, so ugly. And then also a couple other ones that they've shown is that Volkswagen, you know, follow-up. They've done, you know, Volkswagen last year, of course, was...
The Darth Vader kid?
The big one, yeah, the Darth Vader one. So this year they're coming out with a couple more, like a follow-up to it. The dog strikes back instead of the kid. So the dog is, like, chasing the Volkswagen and the Beetle and stuff like that. And then a couple that they've teased include the Avengers trailer, which Joss Whedon has... Actually, this is a follow-up to what we were talking about last week. Joss Whedon has said no to Spider-Man showing up in the Avengers.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right, exactly. So pretty much what you were saying, like, he's just saying, no, it's not going to... He's like, plus, if I was going to put somebody in there, I wouldn't put Spider-Man because he's so mainstream. There's really no... people, you know, it wouldn't really matter.
Right, the movie's going to be big enough on its own. It's not like they're putting him in there so people are like...
Spider-Man's in it. Let's go check it
like,
out.
Like, reading comics, you see on the shelves, it's like, you know, a character whose books aren't selling that well, and they'll shove in a Spider-Man appearance in his book, and they'll put it on the cover. Mm-hmm. And they're like, to boost sales. Yeah. Obviously, the Avengers is going to do well enough where they don't need to shoehorn a character that already makes enough money.
Yeah, they've got enough star power in there. They don't need a brand new Spider-Man to really boost any sales or anything. The Dictator, which is Sacha Baron Cohen's new movie, which seems like it's an actual movie and not just like, oh, we're going to do this fake documentary or whatever. So,
right. Well, he doesn't have any more characters left.
Right, right.
From his TV show, so.
Oh, okay. Is that what it is?
I don't know. He had three characters from his TV show, the Ology show, mm-hmm. and he did three movies based on them. The one was an actual movie, though, and the other two were like those fake documentaries.
Right, right. Okay. Apparently, Seinfeld is back to hawk another Honda product, the Acura NSX.
Seinfeld used to hawk Honda products before?
No. Honda, you know, they got Matthew Broderick to do the CRV.
Oh, I see.
To do the NSX, which just came out. Jerry Seinfeld and the Soup Nazi are back to talk about the NSX. All right, well, after that, let's. A couple trailers came out. Hunger Games Trailer 2.
I did see that today.
It's good. It looks good.
I'm reading the books.
Have you read all of them yet?
I'm on the second one right now.
Okay, I stopped after the first one because I was reading other books and I haven't gotten around to it. And Carly, my girlfriend, finished all three books in a week.
Yeah, Steph finished all three books in a week too. And she was like, you have to read them. And I was like, all right, I guess. And yeah. I don't know. They're easy to read, but... I don't know. The first one doesn't end.
You read the first one, right?
Yeah.
It just kind of stops. Yeah, they want you to read the second one. I mean, obviously.
Right.
It just kind of ends. And she was like, yeah.
But when I was looking up the Hunger Games trailers today on IMDb, I already saw, okay, so there's only three Hunger Games books.
Yeah.
They have a slated title, Hunger Games 4.
Huh?
Yeah, for 2015, I think. I don't know. I did a search on IMDb for Hunger Games.
Well, IMDb is not known for its good future projections. You know?
No, I know, but I mean,
goof around.
They don't readily put stuff out there,
right.
You know, just for the hell of it. You know what I mean?
Sometimes they do, but it turns out that. They are going
it's a lot
to
of work
split.
To,
what's that?
It's a lot of work to put up a page for a movie based on a book that doesn't exist.
Well, apparently they're going to split the three books into four movies.
Ugh, enough with that. Enough with that.
But I mean, there's not enough in these books. It's like a 350-page book each, and they read. I mean, they're okay. Even though
and the stories go in such a way that, it's, you know, according to the second one, if the third one is anything like it, you can't really split the story up anywhere. There's nowhere to stop it.
Yeah, and the books are, you know, they're rather smaller books. They're not like the Twilight books, which are like, you know, several, you know, 500 pages or whatever. Each book in the Hunger Games trilogy is only like 350, 400 pages. And they read quickly. They're very fast books. So I don't know how they're going to do it. Nobody really knows how they're going to do it, obviously, because the first one isn't even out yet. It's kind of stupid that they're going to do this, but, you know, studios just want more money.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all we can say about that. Let's see. Another trailer that came out is a Lockout. We were actually talking about that several weeks back, which is a Guy Pearce? Yeah, Guy Pearce movie. Directed by Luc Besson, so that looks very
interesting. Oh, yeah.
We'll link to that in the show notes. And then one of the two Snow White films that are coming out this year. So Snow White and the Huntsman will be out, which is weird because in Once Upon a Time, I don't know if you watched that show, John.
I've seen it here and there.
There's a one episode that specifically speaks about Snow White and the Huntsman. One episode. And they conclude it the entire – they conclude that storyline in one episode. So a two-hour movie will focus pretty much on the things that occur in that one movie.
Well, they have
that
to –
one episode.
They have to grit it up.
Yeah, they definitely do. I mean, Chris Hemsworth is the Huntsman. So.
Of course he is.
And what's her name? Kristen Stewart, right? Kristen Stewart from Twilight will be Snow White. And Charlize Theron will be the Queen. So, interesting.
Enough with this fairy tale stuff.
It's definitely Year of the Fairy Tale.
They did Red Riding Hood. That did that do as well as I had predicted it would?
No, absolutely not.
It
didn't make that much money, and it was poorly received.
What's that creepy movie with Sleeping Beauty?
I don't know.
What the hell is it called? The girl from Sucker Punch is in it?
I don't know.
Basically, it's Sleeping Beauty. And they get to like a bunch of girls, take these drugs and make them go to sleep. And then they like are leered at by creepy old guys, I guess. It's like a very weird movie. It came out in December.
Yeah,
actually.
That's right. It came out recently and it just faded away.
I don't remember if it was in a wide release or not.
It was actually called Sleep.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't remember that. I remember like a commercial here and there, but I don't remember seeing it listed in any. I went to I went to the theaters this past weekend. And I don't remember seeing it listed in any of the theaters. So I think it kind of.
I don't remember ever being in a wide release anywhere.
Yeah, I probably did.
But I mean, I don't know how much more gritty can these fairy tales get. I mean, if you just tell the original story that the way the Grimm brothers wrote it. That's probably enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they're pretty gruesome as they stand, and then they were dumbed down for the Disney audiences.
Yeah.
And now they have to re-grit them up. I don't know. It just seems so stupid.
Yeah. So Sleeping Beauty only made $36,000.
$36,000?
Yeah, and it was in release for 28 days, and its widest release was only 4 theaters. This is according to Box Office Mojo. So, fun times. It was a very, very limited release, for sure.
That's amazing.
This is, of course, you know, there's Sleeping Beauty, there's Snow White and the Huntsman, and then, of course, in March, I believe, there is a movie with Julia Roberts called Mirror, Mirror, which also focuses on the same story. It's insane. It's just, like, out of this world. Like, what's with all these fairy tales that focus on Snow White specifically? It's just weird. It's getting...
Yeah.
I'm kind of losing it. but, all right. So, now that we've gone through the trailers and gone through some punishing ones, we will talk about our topic for the week, which is, as you may or may not know, the television series Chuck finally made its end... sayonara end state this past week.
Finally died its slow death.
It finally completed its death. It was flopping around on the ground for a little bit, taking its final breath here and there, and then it finally took a last gasp. And John, you saw it. So before I decide to talk about it, what did you think about the end of Chuck?
I have two thoughts about it. It was, on the one hand, it was rushed, where they could have had a more full story to tell, mm-hmm. I feel like, but they had to end it because, you know, they were cutting their episodes, and they were, you know, kind of squeezed together with the time that they had to get them out. So I feel like they could have told a more complete story. I mean, I don't know how much I'm ruining by talking about it. But
go for it. You can catch it on Hulu.com for free.
Obviously, in the past week, Sarah had lost her memories of Chuck, and, you know, towards the end of it, they kind of make it like, you know, it's a happy ending. Everyone lives happily ever after. But I think one of the things they really ignored was the fact that Morgan had lost his memories a little bit and then never became the same person again. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't remember liking Star Wars.
Yeah, but he kind of got that back because he found out that, you know, he used to like it. So then he reacquired his enjoyment of Star Wars.
Later. Yeah, but it, I mean, that's the same as
liking Star Wars when he was a kid.
Yeah, right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that, like, that wasn't complete. That wasn't finished in my mind. And then they never actually said if Sarah got her memories back or even if she, you know, fell back in love with Chuck at the end.
You kind of hope that she did, like, the way it ended, you know.
Right. So that's the one way. The other way is I feel like they finished it, I don't know how to word this, way after they should have this season. They had a really good segment of stories where everything was leading up to a big bad guy, and it turned out to be Superman. What the hell's his name?
Brandon Routh, yeah.
Brandon Routh, yeah.
Dana Shaw, yeah.
Dana Shaw. And when that ended, Steph turned to me and said, that should have been the last episode.
It should have been. It really should have been.
It was a really good episode, and there was no, like, weird open-endedness that they had to worry about. The story was done. Everything was finished. There was no more intersect anywhere, and that was it.
Yeah, there's
So I feel like they could have dragged out that Shaw storyline a little bit further and made that the finale instead of, you know, they between that episode and the final episode, they had two more people get the intersect, right? And then I introduced a new character who had never existed before.
It's out of the blue. It's just boom, one day, so, boom, he just came out, yeah.
You know, if they hadn't ended it there, they should have dragged it out or, you know, not worried about adding in new characters and, you know, done all the stuff that they had done.
Yeah. I feel like I really liked Chuck in the beginning. And I kind of gave up on it last season because it just felt like it wasn't going anywhere. But then I rewatched last season in its entirety, all 22 episodes, back to back, and it worked out really well. The pacing was much better, obviously, because you were watching it back to back. And it's,
I feel like that's why not to interrupt you, but I feel like that's why I stuck with it longer than you decided to, because while I was watching it, I watched it from my DVR. So I just record stuff, and after, like, you know, six episodes, me and Steph would, you know, watch them all together.
Right. Okay, yeah. So the pleasure,
my enjoyment of it was different than your enjoyment of it because of that factor.
Right. So the pleasure of DVRs and such. I feel like they ran out of ideas this past year. And even though they had a full 13 episodes to flush everything out, they just kind of had so many ideas, but at the same time, not enough ideas. And then they just kind of started cramming stuff in. Like, the Shaw thing was like lackluster because it felt like, what's his name? Decker, right? Decker.
Is that the guy from the last episodes? Oh, no, Decker,
like, he was, you know, pursuing Chuck, and you didn't know why, right. And then it came out that he was literally just being blackmailed.
He was working for someone.
And it was like, oh, okay, great. And then they didn't even, like...
But I feel like even that was, if they had dragged that out a little bit more, it would have made more sense, you know what I mean? Like, in the first season, the enemy was Fulcrum, and in the second season, you find out that Fulcrum was working for the Ring.
Right.
And then the Volkov thing...
Yeah, so, yeah, season, like, yeah, like, 2 and 3 was the Ring, or, like, was, and then it was Volkov, and then now it was
Volkov, yeah.
Back to Shaw, and it was just, I feel like they could have fleshed that out a little bit more, because it was just like, oh yeah, so Gertrude blows him up, and then Daniel Shaw appears, and then it's like, oh okay, this is
right.
And his reason for doing it was, oh, you broke my heart because you killed my wife.
Right, which was his motivation years ago.
Yeah, and it was just like, that's it? You're going to come back with that? Like, I understand they tried to wrap him up, but he was in prison. I would have been fine if he didn't come back.
Yeah.
And then,
but at least it was an enemy that we knew.
Yeah. And then the whole, like, you know...
And he was like, in my mind, not... You know, I keep interrupting you, but he was on... My whole idea... Not the idea, but I thought that the whole idea for the show was that only Chuck could have the Intersect... Because he had the intelligence or the brain capacity or whatever to handle it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And at least Shaw was someone who was on that level where, okay, he can have the Intersect because he's got the brain capacity. He was a good opposite enemy for Chuck. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then as soon as – well, they let on that his sister was going to get the Intersect, but that never happened. But as soon as Morgan got it, it was like, well, I guess...
Everybody can get
it. I guess, yeah. I guess it's just a matter of putting on these glasses and getting the Intersect. You know what I mean?
What they were doing was they were trying to, like, do the whole Intersect for everyone kind of thing, and that's where it got to be corrupted. And that's where it became corrupted. So, and then it turns out, you know, like, it was also a compatibility thing. You know, their brain wasn't on the right thing. And also their attempt to make the Intersect better made it corrupted. So I feel like that's what made
the character of Chuck different. Was that he was the one who could have it. He was the only one who could have it.
Yeah.
Like when it gets to the final episode, you find out, oh, anyone could have read that email.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The series could have been called Morgan.
And then they switched it like to the point where it was no longer just about the Intersect. It was more about like Chuck and Sarah.
Yeah.
And I feel like they kind of, at the end of the, I feel like they could have done some other things instead of making Sarah lose her memory and then having him win her back again.
Yeah.
Which is, I just feel like this last season was.
Although in the final episode when they did the montage of like old clips from the show.
Oh yeah.
Did you get the feeling looking at it by saying, oh my god, Zach Levy looks so different?
Yeah, he looks like 10 years younger, even though the show is only like 5 years ago. It's just weird. Yeah, he definitely looks much different. He definitely aged.
He looks more cleaned up.
Yeah.
Because his hair was all mess.
Yeah,
like back beginning, longer. He looks more Hollywood-fied.
Yeah, and now he looks all like secret agent and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know? But I feel like this last season was kind of a waste because there's a lot of things that they could have done with it, and they just kind of one thing they could have stuck with, and instead they kind of threw like 3 or 4 different ideas together and made it into a 13 episode series.
Right.
And I feel like it just kind of wasted itself. So,
well, getting away from Chuck a little bit, what other series finales have you enjoyed?
I know it's a little bit polarizing.
Let me just say planned series finale, because obviously there's a bunch of series that don't expect to be ended, and the last show was just like a normal show.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
the one that's in most recent memory and probably the most polarizing for many people who actually watched the series or didn't watch the series, was Lost. I actually watched it once, and when it ended, I turned to my girlfriend and I said, I don't get it.
I have no comment on that. I never watched it. I never got into it. Yeah. So
it was one of those that
dead, right?
Okay. So there's a bit. There's a very huge common misconception. I watched it once and I thought about it for days. It was one of those, and then I watched it again for a second time, maybe like 6 months ago. And it solidified my idea. So what it was is they were not in purgatory when they were on the island. Everything that happened on the island happened for real.
Okay.
What happened is they were so connected due to being on the island that in between the real life and the afterlife, which was heaven, because when he opened the doors at the end, a bright white light consumed them all, and then it ended. So the way that it occurred was, it was real life on the island. Everything that occurred was real. But what happened is, their souls, when each one of them died, it could have been, you know, Jack dies at the end of the series, so it could be that time. And then everybody else, like Hurley and Ben, don't die until many, many years later. Many years later, because Hurley becomes the island. He becomes a, like, the person who...
He becomes the island.
What's that?
He becomes the island.
He becomes the island. No, he becomes the protector of the island, who is immortal. And then until he passes it on to someone, then he dies. Then he disappears and dies. So that could have been, you know, 30 years, 50 years, 100 years. But when he dies, his soul goes into the middle plane. And then when they all meet, they're ready to
purgatory?
Go.
Purgatory?
No. It's not purgatory. Whenever I think of purgatory, I think of everybody lives in hell. But
purgatory and hell are different.
Or like in, like, so purgatory is just stuck between this life and the afterlife? Is that what?
Yeah.
Okay, so they were, so once they die, they make it to purgatory. But on the actual show of Lost, they were not in purgatory. So in the latter two seasons, 5 and 6, when they were doing the flash sideways, where they were all like in regular life, that was purgatory. But the island still occurred. It still took place. So I understand, like, there are a lot of people. I know it sounds crazy, but, like, if you actually watch the whole series, it's better understood. Like,
I was so sick of the flashing around with that show that I couldn't watch it.
Yeah, I understand. But it's just that, like, if you stuck with that whole series, it was a good ending. But some people misunderstood that ending. Like, they were like, oh, they were dead the entire time. But it's not true. That's not how the idea was. And then people were like, oh, you didn't answer all of our questions. But in the final season of season 6 of the DVD, they showed, like, you know, Ben and Hurley chilling out, like, taking care of the island and stuff. And it was monotonous. It was bad. So they were like, they basically created that video to be like, look, this is why we didn't answer this question on the show, because it was just, it was not worth it for you. And they were right. I mean, it was cool to see, but it was not worth it for the show. So that was probably the one that I could think of in its the most recent that I could think of that was the most polarizing.
There's a lot of polarizing. I feel like most series finales end up being polarizing.
I think they have.
People always point at the ending of Saint Elsewhere, which was a medical drama that was on in like the 80s. Okay. Denzel Washington was on it. It's kind of where he got his big break from.
Okay.
But and ended up being the end of the show, last episode, at the very end, it was a autistic child looking into a globe with a hospital in it.
Oh my God. I would have hated
so,
that.
So, like, the whole thing basically occurred in this little boy's mind.
Oh my God.
Those types of finales are the ones that I feel are enormous cop-outs.
You feel so cheated.
Yes. There was a series called... This one was actually... It was cleverly done, but it's still a cop-out. There was a series called The Bob Newhart Show.
Okay.
Where he owned Bob Newhart was on a variety of different television shows that were all named like Bob Newhart or The Newhart Show or The Bob Newhart Show. So I can't remember which one is which. One of them, he owned a hotel in Maine or Vermont or wherever and lived there with his wife. And that ended. And then there was another show called, you know, The Bob Show or whatever, where he was someone else in a totally different story. And in that episode, on the finale of that episode, he wakes up in the hotel from his previous series in his bed.
I remember hearing about that.
It's clever.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's
yeah.
a cop-out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like if Chuck was completely a just a dream. And he woke up and he's like, wow, that would, and she had just walked in. Like,
right.
That would have been a huge cop out. Yeah.
It's the reason I hated the movie Click. It
was so stupid.
But I mean, okay, the whole idea of the movie was stupid, but it was so obvious from the moment he was in the mattress store and then he finds this remote control and fast forwards his life. I immediately was like, he's asleep.
Right.
He's asleep.
Right. That's a, yeah, those are huge cop outs. There's another movie or another show that did that. I forget which one it was, but
but in there, on the other end of that, there are other ones that are the most widely viewed series finale ever. Do you know what it was?
Was it Twin Peaks? I don't know. I actually don't know.
Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was MASH.
And that was not a lot of people liked that one either, right? That was
Because
kind of polarizing as well.
I talked to my mom about it. She hates it because the show ran for, 15 years or whatever it was.
For a long time. Longer than the actual war itself.
And it was a comedy about these people working in a mobile army surgical hospital. Mm-hmm. And then the final episode came and they took away Hawkeye, who was Alan Alda. And they didn't take him away, but he was done with his army career. And when he got back to the United States, he had gone crazy. And they put him in a mental institution. It's like, that's not funny.
So it ended on a very... So they completely went 180.
Yeah.
Very somber moments.
But I think that the fact that we're still talking about these... Obviously, we didn't watch any of these because we weren't around. Cognizant enough to realize what was going on. But, the fact that I can name them off means that the people who wrote them had sort of done their job. Because I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it also goes hand in hand with the popularity of the show. Obviously, the one for Lost stuck in people's minds because of
Lost.
That show was stupid because that show was so popular.
Yeah. You stupid.
No. But another one that I do remember is the Sopranos finale.
Mm-hmm.
You never watched the Sopranos, right?
I did not, but I do know how it ended.
Basically, it was filmed wrong.
Okay.
I read an article where the guy who the writer for the show was interviewed and said basically I wanted them to make it more obvious that the entire family had been killed sitting in this diner, where the way that they'd filmed it. It was kind of vague because it faded to black,
mm-hmm.
and they played Journey music.
Right.
But apparently he wanted to film it in such a way that it was very obvious that there was a guy coming out of the bathroom and he was immediately going to kill Tony Soprano.
Right, because, the show was told in his point of view, right? Mostly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was the main character.
Yeah, so a lot of people just didn't get it.
Right. I remember sitting there – I only watched the first season and the last season. The first season was really good. I didn't really have HBO, or I wasn't paying attention to it, and it didn't really entertain me all that much. And then I started dating Steph, and her family watched it every week. And her parents were like, "What was that?" And it's like, I don't know. You know what I mean? But I think that people, they watch these shows and they're ready for the end, and then the end comes and they're
completely disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it didn't – it's ending and it's not coming back, and that's the memory you have of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get out of the way. My memory of that 70s show and Alias are not the final episodes because I haven't seen them.
Yeah, and then I think it was only maybe last year that I finally told you how it ended.
Yeah,
and it was like a 2-hour series finale, yeah. And I told
and
you.
I could still I have it on DVD. I could still watch it, but it's like I don't know. It just you'd think if I watch a show so religiously, I would be there for the season finale, but
yeah.
I got hooked on 24 that season.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
you know what it was? They were playing the Alias episodes online. If you
They were, absolutely.
If you missed the episode, they would replay it for you online on
the next day.
ABC website the next day. Mm-hmm. So I would always watch it the next day, and then because I was always watching 24, and then for some reason the one day I just didn't watch it, and that was the season finale or series finale. So, you know, there was a lot of – there was another J.J. Abrams project where there are a lot of questions to be answered at the final episode, so
– yeah. From what I could remember, from what I can remember, Alias ended pretty much the only way it could end, I believe.
They woke up on a lost island.
Right, exactly. they were in an airplane that crashed.
Yeah.
So Sloane finally reached immortality. And he was looking for immortality the entire series.
Yeah.
You know, with all the artifacts and everything. He finally achieved it, despite the fact that he killed his daughter for it and everything. He finally did it. But the issue that occurred was Sydney's father, you know, pretty much trapped him in an area for his entire life. He was trapped. He left him there. Well, actually, Jack didn't leave him there. He killed himself. So he didn't leave him there. He just pretty much got stuck there for the rest of his life. And that's pretty much how it ended. And that's the only way it could have ended. You know, Sydney could have gone to fight another day, you know, gotten married, gone to have kids or whatever. That's fine. But that's pretty much the only way that show could have ended.
But I mean, I'm trying to think of other, I mean, the Seinfeld series finale,
it's kind of dumb. Yeah.
People think it's kind of dumb, but I mean, I get it. Yeah. I get it. The whole point of the show is them being normal people and
awful normal people.
Yeah, being a-holes.
Yeah.
And
came back and bit them in the ass.
The whole idea was, look, if you're going to be a-holes, it's going to come back to bite you. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think that it was that bad, and it ended actually in the same joke that the series started with. So that's, you know, kind of brings a circle to a close.
Yeah, it was, you know, I felt that it was a good ending. I mean, it was pretty much like they brought back all the characters that everybody loved throughout the years and were like, these people are terrible people. And at first you're like, man, these people are pretty awful.
But watching the show and you're like, you know, oh, I'm like that. You know, I say stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, you end up saying, you know, still today, the things that they say on that show, like shrinkage and, you know, slow talker or whatever.
Regifting.
And then they turn it right back around you and throw it in your face, and you're like, hey, you know, the person you say you've been like for the past 8 years, you're a jerk.
Yeah.
And they'll throw you in jail for it.
Yeah. So while we were talking about this, I actually looked it up on AOL TV. They have a list, which is the 10 best series finales ever. This was a little bit of an older list. It's back in May of last year when Smallville ended, which I don't know if you ever watched Smallville, John, but I actually stopped watching Smallville after season 6. I made it to about season 10. I decided to watch it just to see what the series finale would be like, and I did not waste 4 more years on the show, and I was pissed. There was never a payoff. You never saw this Clark Kent in this version don the Superman suit. Ever.
Right.
He had it, he picked it up, and then you saw a CG of him very, very far away with the suit on. And then you never saw him standing close up or anything. So there was absolutely zero payoff. So that was a really bad one. That was a really, really bad one.
Let me just say real quick, I'm going to just add in, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it. Steph was telling me about it, but she thinks her favorite series finale of all time was another HBO show called 6 Feet Under.
Okay.
If you never watched it, it's a show about a family that owns a funeral home.
Okay.
And every episode started with someone dying and then them being brought the body, and it goes through this person's whole life and like explaining, you know, how they got to where they were at when they died, and basically it's like a, you know, they're telling a life story every episode. Mm-hmm. And the series ended with them following every one of the main characters, you know, kind of fast forward through their lives to their deaths.
Oh, that is good. That is good.
Yeah, to their eventual deaths, you know, whether it be immediate and sudden, or, you know, they live a long life. Yeah. Like I think the one main girl did.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good one.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple other ones. So there's a countdown of 10. We'll skip over a couple since we already went through them. One of them is The Wire, which you just
The Wire,
watching,
yeah.
Right? That kind of went full circle, and it was nice to see like McNulty kind of stop being ridiculously drunk.
Yeah,
you know,
I feel like they sort of showed everyone's character changing, or, you know, they showed the younger people taking the ranks of the people who had died throughout the series.
Yeah.
You know, they show the next Davon's going to be the next Stringer. Mm-hmm. But they never show, obviously you don't want someone being like McNulty, who was kind of a loose cannon, but they just kind of, they didn't wrap up his story at all. You know what I mean?
They
showed him standing on the highway at the end.
Right, so what you hope he did was he cleaned up and moved on, you know, got back with the doc lady and the doc cop and stuff like that. But you don't ever know. I mean, he's always been the kind of guy who, you know, he tries to fix himself and then he can't. You know, throughout the whole 5 seasons, he just kind of did that.
Right.
Let's see. Another one is Arrested Development, which was basically a huge opening for the movie that should come out this year.
Right.
10 years later, or actually, it's 8 years later, but very close. The Mary Tyler Moore Show. Apparently, that was.
I mean, there's ones that were, you know, they're pretty not as memorable, but good endings like Cheers.
Yeah, the next one is Cheers.
They closed down the bar, and that's basically it.
And then Frasier moved to Seattle. He moved years before that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Another one is Shield.
I'm looking at a list, too, and Twin Peaks is on this one.
Oh, really?
I never watched the show, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was one of those shows that kind of, like, never really ended itself.
They did a 2-hour movie. There was 2 seasons, and then Dave Lynch did a movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, you know, if that counts as to close the final episode.
Another one is The Shield, which ended. It could only end in 2 ways, which was either Vic Mackey died in a hail of gunfire, or he was left to his own vices for the rest of his life.
Right,
and it ended in the latter way, which is interesting of an ending. People didn't really like it. Some people didn't like it. Some people did. I think it was. It was either the only 2 ways they could have finished it. And then this also lists like the New Heart, which is actually the one, the New Heart.
Okay, yeah.
The show.
24 is on this.
Bob Newhart, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then there's
24 is on this one, another list I'm looking at.
24 pretty much ended to set movie that's going to come out this year or next year, so... I didn't really think that it was much of an ending, more of like a to be continued.
Right.
But they ended it when it, you know, on a positive note, because, you know, the 2 seasons before that were just awful.
Right.
But okay. So I think that is, we will link to these lists that we were looking at in the show notes. So, give it a check. Give it a check later. What's that?
I was kind of jumping around from lists, so I was just kind of mentioning.
All right, we'll just keep putting the lists. I think it'd be good.
I mean, if you just Google best series finales, you know, there's hundreds of lists you can look through.
Yeah. We could just Google worst series finales. That could work, too.
Right. There it is, saying elsewhere. I finally saw it.
All right, well, that is... I think that will do it for this week. Next week, we will be back. Maybe Amy will join us. And so for this week, for Screen View Episode 16, I am Peter Van, and the lone other gunman guy is...
gunman?
I don't even know what I'm saying.
I'm the lone other guy.
Gunmen. I don't even know what I'm saying.
From now on, I'm just the other... It's Peter and the other guy.
Yeah, Peter and the other guy. the Lone Gunman. All right. So we will see you guys next week.
All righty.